From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Some 30,000 Iraqi Kurdish Peshmerga and Sunni tribal fighters are engaged in a long-anticipated assault to retake the northern Iraqi city of Mosul, the country's second largest, from a two-year Islamic State occupation. The air and ground assault was launched early Monday from multiple directions against an estimated IS force of between 4 and 8,000. U.S. Defense spokesman Peter Cook said initial reports on progress are positive.
Early indications are that Iraqi forces have met their objectives so far, and they are ahead of schedule for this first day. This is going according to the Iraqi plan, but again, it's early, and the enemy gets a vote here.
The commander of the U.S.-led coalition backing the offensive, Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, warned it could take weeks or longer to capture Mosul. The UN resident and humanitarian coordinator for Iraq, Lisa Grand, expressed alarm over the fate of the civilian population.
Our concern is that civilians are at extreme risk from crossfire, from possible artillery barrage. We understand that ISIL has booby-trapped large parts of the city. We understand that there's extensive contamination by explosive hazards. We're very worried about snipers.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter called the battle the decisive moment in the campaign to deliver the IS group a lasting defeat. The Constitutional Court in Democratic Republic of Congo has approved a petition by the country's Electoral Commission to delay a presidential ballot set for next month to April. President Joseph Kabila was expected to step down in December when his two-term mandate expires. The court acted on a request by a national dialogue involving the ruling coalition and some members of the opposition. Most opposition parties, however, boycotted the talks and have called for a general strike Wednesday. This is VOA News. The Russian Defense Ministry announced Monday that Russian and Syrian armed forces are preparing for an 8-hour humanitarian pause in the embattled Syrian city of Aleppo Thursday. Lieutenant General Sergei Ruskoy said the October 20 pause would last from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time, allowing for the free passage of civilians, the evacuation of the sick and wounded, and withdrawal of fighters. He said there will be two corridors by which people can leave. It was welcomed Monday by UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric.
Obviously, any lessening of the violence, lessening of the fighting, any pause that's actually implemented will be very much welcomed. We have been calling for at least a 48-hour ceasefire, cessation of hostilities, so in order to get humanitarian aid in.
New air attacks Monday in and around Aleppo killed dozens of civilians, including children. The UN special envoy to Yemen announced a 72-hour ceasefire to begin late Wednesday after he received commitments from all the country's warring factions. Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed said the cessation of hostilities could be renewed. The announcement came a day after the U.S., Britain, and the UN envoy urged the warring parties to declare a ceasefire. Saudi Foreign Minister Adel El Jubeir said the kingdom, which backs President Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi's government against Houthi rebels, remains skeptical the peace effort will be successful after previous truce attempts failed. An unmanned Antares rocket operated by Orbital ATK blasted off late Monday from Wallops Island, Virginia, with a cargo ship destined for the International Space Station.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As you can see, Cygnus lifting off on top of its Antares rocket on its mission to deliver supplies and science to the International Space Station.
The rocket carried a Cygnus capsule loaded with more than 2,400 kilograms of food, supplies, equipment, and science experiments. It's expected to reach the ISS by Sunday. Searchers recovered 32 bodies after a Myanmar ferry sank in a river in the northwest of the country, also known as Burma. Scores are still missing. The death toll could rise. The ferry capsized Saturday along the Chindwin River. As many as 300 may have been on board. Dozens of Japanese officials visited a controversial war shrine Tuesday, a frequent pilgrimage that usually angers China and South Korea. They view it as a painful reminder of Tokyo's wartime past. 85 Japanese lawmakers arrived at the Yasukuni Shrine in Tokyo to pray for Japan's war dead. But senior military and political leaders convicted of war crimes are also buried there. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.